Hey everyone, welcome into our Periscope episode of the BT Powerhouse podcast. Woo, get hype. How's everyone doing? We'll wait here a few minutes for everyone to get in, and then if you have questions, throw them out. But yeah, we're going to jump into the schedule. We have Ryan Blevins, one of our writers as well here, in to join us. It should be a lot of fun. So again, we'll start it up here in a minute or two once some people jump in here and have some fun. Jump Big Ten Hoop, Big Ten Hoops, Big Ten scheduling, and the fun of college hoops. And hey, maybe we'll get some college football in here. We'll have to see. You may notice my epic banner behind me. Picked that up at Chrysler a couple years ago. Yeah, 2014. So starting to get dated, but you know, always fun. But like I said, we'll start in a minute or two here on the Periscope. If you have questions, throw them in the Periscope here. We'll try to answer them. If they're funny, then we'll like you even more and put several others. Sorry, my hair's kind of messed up here. Just got done working out, so kind of a mess. But still fun. But all right, so we got some people rolling in here. We'll jump right into it. So I'm Thomas Bendit. I'm manager, editor-in-chief, whatever you want to call me, for BT SB Nation's BT Powerhouse. We cover Big Ten basketball for the SB Nation family, whatever you want to call us, the networks. Big news today on the Big Ten front. Official 2016-17 Big Ten schedule has been released. Tons of fun. We don't have the game times yet, unfortunately. Still waiting on those, but we do have the dates and the big matchups, which, you know, I know everybody's focused on college football, but at least, you know, there's some of us diehards for college basketball still. And you can be excited for both. That's the beauty. But joining me tonight on, we got him here by phone, is Ryan Blevins, one of our writers at BT Powerhouse, to help me break down the announcement, break down what's going on. Ryan, how's it going?
Not bad, Tom. How are you?
Doing well. Can everybody hear him? If nobody can hear him, someone comment in the Periscope. If not, otherwise, I'm going to assume.
I would hate to talk for nothing, just for you guys, just to hear myself talk. That would suck.
Definitely. But it looks like we don't have any comments on that, so I'm just going to assume everything's good. So all right, let's start with big takeaways. What are your biggest takeaways, Ryan, from the Big Ten release here?
We got Big Ten basketball schedules, which is exciting, but the biggest takeaway from it is that it seems like there's far and away easy schedule, and I think that's mostly a testament to how tough the conference is going to be this year. It is conference schedules, right? So everybody has to play everybody, and the Big Ten is one of the premier conferences, so nobody's really going to have a cakewalk. There are some real tough schedules, and amongst the teams are some easier schedules too, but there's nobody can really say that there's no team that you're going to look at and say, you know, that's an undefeated conference schedule, or that's a two loss or a three loss conference schedule. You know, there are tough teams in this conference, and it'll shape up to be, regardless of how the games shaked out, we knew all along that it was going to be an exciting conference schedule time.
I agree. You know, I don't think there's any denying the Big Ten. I don't know if it's what it was 3-4 years ago, in that, 2012 through 2014 period. It was just unbelievably good, probably the best it's ever been. I know some of the old timers won't like to hear that, but it was stacked, you know, from top to bottom. You know, you have bottom teams that were even, you know, like Penn State, the one year Michigan made the Final Four, beat Michigan. So yeah. Arguably the worst team in the league that year beat a Final Four team. So that's not something you see very often, but my first instinct was, you know, first off, you know, difficult schedule, but, you kind of are noticing a split in the conference, I feel like. where, you know, maybe the conference away team like Wisconsin, that where it had a couple of years ago, but I feel like it has this top group, and then it has this group that's like a significant drop off underneath it. Yeah. And what I'm talking about is, you know, obviously, you know, Wisconsin, Indiana, Michigan State, I'm sure I'm forgetting Purdue. They're all looking like legitimate contenders. They can win the Big Ten. But then your next group, they're all a little bit weaker, but almost all of them have great coaches. You know, Iowa, Michigan with John Beilein, Maryland, you know, with Mark Turgeon. But you have great proven coaches, and also, which means, you know, if you're a so-so team, it's going to be harder to beat those teams because you're assuming they're going to be coached up. They're going to be playing well when you have to face them. So it's, I think this is an exceptionally tough year for the bottom teams, or at least what we perceive to be the bottom teams. Obviously you never know how things are going to turn out, but that was my projection, I would say. But moving on from that, there were three big things that popped up for me. I'm sure as we get into this, and especially once the game times emerge, because, you know, as any fan who goes to the Big Ten game, playing someone on the road at 9 p.m., it's a lot different than playing them, you know, Sunday afternoon at noon. So we'll have to wait on that. But I think the big three things for me is, you know, first off, the big criticism last year, scheduling wise, was Indiana. You know, they won the Big Ten title. Personally, I think the schedule criticisms were very legitimate for the first month and a half. After that, they had played enough good teams that I think it kind of lost its merit. But, you know, starting off, they had legitimate criticisms on their schedule. It was weak. They didn't play a lot of the top teams. But this year, I think it's going to be strong. And certainly more difficult than it was last year. So I'm kind of interested to see that. You know, they start off with three home games, but one of them is Wisconsin. Then they travel to Maryland. You know, they're playing Michigan State at home. You know, in this first group, they're playing like half of the top teams. And then they close out on the road, you know, at Purdue. And then at Ohio State, which clearly are not easy games. And at Iowa is two games before that. So I think that was the first thing that popped up to me. I think on the flip side, I think Maryland got a pretty good draw. You kind of saw that coming with the teams they were facing, but I think their draw is pretty easy. And then, you know, personally hitting close to home, Michigan got a brutal, brutal draw in the middle of the season. So, those are the things that popped out to me. Anything pop out to you, Ryan?
Yeah. First, the last thing you hit on for sure was that mid-January to mid-February, like month stretch from Michigan, where they're facing Wisconsin, Indiana, Michigan State, Ohio State. I mean, they literally have a period where they're going to face, in the span of 10 days, they're going to face, they're going to go to East Lansing, and then they're going to have Ohio State in Ann Arbor, and then Michigan State again in Ann Arbor. So they're going to face their two biggest rivals three times in the span of 10 days. And not only are they their biggest rivals, but they're also going to be obviously Michigan State more, but they're all going to be, or both are going to be tough teams. So that's a brutal stretch. But also looking at one of the weaker teams in the conference, looking at Rutgers' schedule, they get off to a tough start also. And, you know, they have a first-year head coach, but three of his first four games are going to be at Wisconsin and at Iowa. So definitely for somebody who's trying to make an impression, and for a team that they only won one game in the Big Ten last year, and a team that, you know, is going to look to be on the up and up and have some pieces. Obviously, nobody is projecting them to finish in the top tier of the Big Ten, but, you know, to potentially looking at, you know, three to four losses within your first four games is that's a rough way to get started for your Big Ten schedule.
Yeah. I mean, definitely. You know, I feel like on our podcast, on Periscope generally, I'm very, very, very rough on Rutgers. I've been a little optimistic lately. I think Steve Peekle's doing a good job of recruiting talent. I think he's doing a good job of finding pieces on short notice to try to get things working. You know, easier said than done. We'll see how it kind of works out over time. But I think, you know, this is going to be a tough year. I guess to beating around the bush, it's going to be a tough year. Frankly, they're going to be lucky to get, you know, 4 wins in the Big Ten, to be honest. I'm not sure if they're going to get there. But, you know, with that, I think, you know, starting off on this kind of trail, they're in the kind of position where these things can build on themselves. They can really spin out of control. You see it a lot of times. I buy into the narratives, buy into the garbage about, you know, this team isn't trying hard or something like that. Because I think we as fans, we as viewers, you know, us in the media, you really don't know what's going on in their heads. But this is a thing where, you know, if you're Rutgers, the players have been beaten down. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say they're not going to try or anything like that. You know, they've been beaten down that bad. But these are players where the only thing they've known at Rutgers so far has been defeat. And I think that sounds rough. But the thing is you don't want to get started off to a bad start and then buy into that, you know, that learned helplessness, so to speak, whatever you want to call it, and kind of let it roll out of control. But either way, whether they got an easy start or a rough start, I think they were in trouble either way. But definitely do not like to see that. But yeah, you know, on a similar note, there was another team that I thought had a very difficult start, and that is Minnesota. The Gophers not getting a lot of attention here leading up to the season, but very, very important year for Richard Pitino. I don't think it's a bold accusation at all to say if he doesn't do well, or at least they don't improve significantly, he might be out the door. And they start off with, I'm just going to go through their first 5 games here of conference play. Michigan State at home, at Purdue, at Northwestern, Ohio State at home, at Michigan State. I'm going to be honest, I don't know if any of those are wins. Like, if they come out of those at 1-4, that will be an achievement. And I know Northwestern's not necessarily great. I know Minnesota can play well at the barn when they're up. And, you know, Ohio State, for instance, you know, getting Ohio State at home, they can win that game. But, you know, 3 out of 5 road games, 3 against legitimate Big Ten title contenders, that's going to be a tough draw. And I mean, if you even go a little bit beyond that, I don't want to go to, you know, rattle off their entire schedule, but after that Michigan State road game, they go on the road to Penn State, face Wisconsin, on the road to Ohio State, and then Maryland at home. They very well, let's see, what is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So 9, their first half of the Big Ten schedule, I'm not sure if any game there is even close to a lock. Am I going out on a limb here, or do you agree with that, or am I just getting a little carried away?
Well, just keep going on. Just one more game down, you had they got to go to Illinois, and Illinois is not going to be a pushover either. So if you want to make it an even 10 games there to start their season, there's not a for sure win. Like there's not a game you're going to say like Minnesota is. You know, there might even be a game where they go unfavored, sure, but of those 10 games, what are they going to go into the game's favor? 2, maybe 3 of them. So this is a situation where if you just even, we'll start with that 5-game stretch you said. You hit the nail right on the head when you said that is on the hot seat. That's no secret. Obviously, he has, you know, he's always living in the shadow of his father and whatnot. But just besides that, he really hasn't got this Minnesota program rolling yet. Per se, like they had expected to. And this is a situation, and tell me if you're in line here, but this could be a situation where if he starts the season 6 in the Big Ten, could this be a situation where an interim head coach and Pitino will be gone before season's end and before even the Big Ten tournament? Because like you said, their best case scenario, their ceiling for those first 5 games is 2-5. In reality, it's like that's their ceiling. absolute ceiling, right? So.
Yeah, yeah. I think I get your point here. Sorry, you're cutting in and out. I don't know if it's your computer or my computer here. But yeah, you know, the first concept is about Minnesota potentially grabbing an interim coach if things do sort of spin out of control, which I don't think it's that unreasonable. You know, we just went through, I think we're both in agreement here that you're talking about 3 to 4 wins through the first 10 if you're performing like that. That's a really good scenario for Minnesota. And I think Minnesota's going to improve a lot. I really do. You know, Keen Springs is a huge addition. They've added a lot of talent. Their recruiting class is great this year. But the thing is there's also, you know, other teams have added pieces too. That's the one thing I think a lot of times fans forget is, you know, everybody's trying to win. It's not just you and everyone getting worse, which is a topic for a different day, so I won't get into that. But yeah, I don't think Minnesota's in a situation where they're going to let Pitino go like that. I think it's very, very rare in basketball that you do get an interim coach, and I think things really have to melt down for that to happen. I don't think things would get that bad in this case, I definitely, you know, I think you will get the hint very strongly, you know, 5-6 games in a Big Ten play if things are kind of spinning out of control, if Minnesota's AD and so on are starting to move forward. But, you know, for Minnesota's fans' sake, I hope that doesn't happen. Hopefully they can turn it around. But, you know, things not looking super bright right now. But we'll see. We'll see. The other team I wanted to hit on, and I feel like we have to hit on, is the other coach who is on – well, I guess there are a couple who could arguably be on, but the other coach who's very legitimately on the hot seat, that's John Gross at Illinois. Illinois has I would say a fair schedule. I don't know. I don't feel like it goes super one way or the other. I feel, you know, they open up. Here's a couple of their first games. 3 of their first 5 games are at home. I think, you know, usually 5 games is kind of a good measuring point for the start of conference play. They start at Maryland, which is going to be a very tough game. Home against Ohio State, on the road at Indiana, which is going to be a brutally tough game. And then Michigan, Maryland at home, which there's a lot of these. That's one thing I've noticed about the schedule, too. It seems like a lot of the teams are playing like back-to-backs against the same teams in a couple, like a week or two, which I don't know, whatever your opinion is on that. I'm not a big fan of it, but yeah, I mean, none of those games, I think Michigan at home will certainly most likely be a win. Or certainly they would at least, you would assume they'd split against Michigan and Ohio State and win at least one at home, if not both. I think out of that situation, they could get off to a decent, you could honestly see 4-1. Well, maybe not 4-1, 3-2 out of there. Maybe 4-1 if Maryland kind of struggles. Sorry, I'm going back and forth here. But I think the only one of those first 5 games that are, you know, very, very likely loss is on the road in Indiana. But outside of that, you know, Illinois could get off to a 4-1 start. They have a pretty manageable non-conference slate. And we've talked a lot about the recruiting class. I think if there's any doubt, fans and the athletic department are going to give John Gross the benefit of the doubt. You don't want to lose that 2017 recruiting class. It looks excellent. And when you add it with the pieces that should be back for 2017-18, Illinois looks pretty good where they're sitting. Are you agree with me, or do you have some different thoughts on their schedule here?
No, I'm right on board with where you're at. On the surface, it definitely doesn't look favorable. Just at a first glance, so you have to play Maryland twice. You have to play Michigan, but you get them at home, and then you have to play one of the best teams in the conference in Indiana. So on the surface, those are 5 teams. It's not like you're getting a Rutgers or a Northwestern. Like there's really nothing where you can kind of take a step back and say that this is a for sure winnable game. But then you look at the unknowns. Like we don't know what Maryland will be. I mean, we know they'll have Melo Trimble, but after that. There's a lot of question marks on that team. So really, if you look at those first 5 games, I think Maryland will dictate a lot about how that plays out, because if they're a lot different, if their season can go a lot differently, let's just say, than many of us might think, if Illinois comes out and wins those both and Maryland loses them. So, you know, those could be just as easy as those could be two losses for Illinois. Those could just as easily be two wins for Illinois. You really don't know how that plays out. And then they have to play two of those, like you mentioned before, two of those second tier teams there with Michigan, Ohio State, teams that are like not the slouches, but they're not the Indianas. So, you know, they're kind of sandwiched in there between that Indiana game, which you could almost chalk up as a loss. But then again, Indiana, it's tough to see them going undefeated. So you never know what might happen. So for Illinois to get out to a hot start and playing a lot at home at the start of their schedule, it'll definitely be big for them.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, to me, what's just so key about it is, you know, you see it with a lot of teams. And again, I don't want to go on my rant about mental toughness or, you know, mental teams mentally breaking and so on, but it's real. You know, the real people, you know, sometimes teams just don't have that extra edge. And a lot of times it's because, you know, they get hit with adversity, they fail, and it's tough to pick yourself back up after that. And I think, you know, for a team where the coach is so legitimately on the hot seat, they've regressed over the last couple of years. You know, this is a huge season. They have to get out to a fast start, and they have to continue and close. And the one thing for Illinois is that based on the latter half of the schedule, if they can get out to any decent start, they can pull off some wins and on upset here or there. You know, for instance, Maryland at home, like that's a game you got to win. You know, Maryland should take a big step back this year, or at least a noticeable step back. That's a game you got to win. You got to win games like that. You got to pick up a road win at a place like Michigan. They play Penn State twice. You got to win those two games. You got to win games like that. But if you look at their last, what is this, five or six? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. The last eight games of Illinois' conference schedule, a road game at Northwestern, outside of a trip to Iowa City, which should be difficult, assuming Iowa doesn't have a massive drop-off this year, they get Michigan State, which is going to be very difficult, but they get them at home. If you look at that final eight games, it's not that crazy to picture Illinois going 7-1 there, or certainly 6-2. And the thing is if you think about that, if they can get through that first portion at all, get some quality wins, avoid upsets, they're sitting pretty to make the postseason. Keep John Gross around and maybe most importantly, keep that recruiting class around from 17. But
yeah, that's going to be the biggest thing there is that recruiting class. Because like you said, that bottom half of the schedule is, I mean, it's not a cakewalk, but it'll have its difficult games in there. But like I said at the top here, it's the Big Ten. There are tough teams in this conference. But keeping that recruiting class is big. I'm not in the minds of these kids, but we all know that Illinois had their off-season troubles here too. And, you know, this might have some of these 2017, 2018 kids wondering, always having a coach on the hot seat. It's tough for Gross to go into a kid's living room and guarantee him that, you know, he will be the coach there for, years to come, because, you know, I'm sure he knows about the uncertainty. So, starting the season strong will be so important, because it looks like they're going to have the opportunity to finish strong. And if they waste those first five, six games and you only come out with a win or two, it won't really matter if they go 7-1, 8-0, 6-2 in those last, because it'll all be for naught, and they'll already be out of it, somewhere in mid-January. And also a lot of, just naturally by nature, people covet what they last see. So to end the season on a high note, for recruiting, the committee, when it comes down to picking teams for the post, they're going to look at that and say, when at the start, it got tough to get the ball rolling, but you finished strong, and that'll be important.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I think it's huge. And I think, I've said this on BT Powerhouse before. I will continue saying it throughout the season. Illinois, to me, is the most interesting team in the Big Ten because they have all of this mix of good and bad, mix of so-so. It's so hard. They're so hard to read because I wouldn't be shocked if they turned around. Suddenly they made the NCAA tournament easily. They bring in next year, and they're just churning for years. Wouldn't shock me in the slightest. It also wouldn't shock me if it went off the rails this year. John Gross fired. The 17 class, you know, splits its ways, and Illinois has to essentially start over. Neither one would surprise me, and that's what makes it interesting for me. But one more team I wanted to hit on here is Wisconsin. I'm having trouble pulling up their schedule here, so I'll have to go through the old overall schedule, so it might be a bit delayed. Wisconsin, perceived by many as the front runners for the Big Ten. Personally, I believe they're my number one team coming into this season, at least now. I haven't redone my preseason rankings, but right now, Wisconsin's my number one team. Starting off easy, they get Rutgers, and then the difficulty racks up a little bit with Indiana on the road. Indiana on the road, and then they go to Purdue. And then they get Ohio State at home. So, and then Michigan at home. So, very, very gentle first game, theoretically. And then straight into the difficulty. But the one good thing Wisconsin has going for it, very experienced team, returned pretty much everything from last year. Everybody knows about their great run through Big Ten play through the NCAA tournament. So, theoretically, if there's a team to get off to a fast start, it should be Wisconsin, right?
Yeah, I mean, in theory, like you said, they return everything, but it's this is a little bit different than teams who return a lot of players. Like last year, we had Michigan who returned everything, but we weren't really sure what they were returning. We weren't really sure what the talent was. Sometimes it's not great to return everything. But with Wisconsin, you know what you're getting. They returned a lot of good players, So theoretically, starting out with Rutgers is basically like – it's essentially like extending your non-conference schedule, I guess. And, you know, a lot of these teams like to schedule a softer non-conference schedule. So anything too crazy, but there's a lot of expectations with Wisconsin. It's not like there hasn't actually not a lot of expectations with Wisconsin. They're Wisconsin. But this is the first full season without Bo Ryan. Mm-hmm. So that'll be interesting. And, it'll just be interesting to see how the senior leadership, how it takes over and helps some of these younger players like a Hap progress.
Yeah, definitely. I think one other thing I wanted to note here about Wisconsin as well, I'm definitely in agreement with pretty much everything you said. Depending on your viewpoint, I think most people would agree that as things currently sit, the Big Ten looks like a three-team race. It looks like Indiana, Michigan State, Wisconsin. I should include Purdue in there. I should give them credit. I think most people are picking those three and then Purdue. But Purdue does deserve its way in there. But for me, I think those Indiana-Wisconsin showdowns are going to be awesome. They've been awesome for years. You know, whether the actual title's decided on that, you know, like I said, MSU and Purdue are going to have their say in this thing as well. But both of those matchups happen pretty early. The first one, as I mentioned, is the second game for Wisconsin in conference play. And the return matchup, Indiana in Madison, will be February 5th on a Sunday. You would assume a Sunday afternoon for that one. But, probably CBS or whatever. But I think... That's a little interesting thing because usually the Big Ten we already talked about Maryland. Usually the last weekend of the season is where they reserve all these massive matchups. For the last couple of years, you got the remember in 2012 it was that great Ohio State Michigan State showdown in East Lansing. Where I'm trying to remember what happened at the end of the game, but Ohio State hits this huge shot. They win the game. You had that Indiana-Michigan showdown in Ann Arbor in 2013. 2014 was kind of a dud, and 15 because Wisconsin and Michigan had won it pretty easily beforehand. But, you know, usually the last weekend of the season, they set all these major matchups. The only one that really pops out this year is Michigan State at Maryland, which is on the last day of conference play. Should be a big one, obviously, but, you know, usually there are two or three of these ones, and you didn't really see that this year, so it could be a little bit of a dimmer last week of the season or so, but, you know, we'll see. But with that, I think we'll call it a night here. Ryan, any final thoughts on this? Any thoughts on getting into football season here too, which should be fun? Before we head out, any final thoughts?
No, excited for football season. Hoping to make a trip down to Ann Arbor sometime this season. Hopefully in the non-conference play, because those in-conference tickets are a little bit out of my price range. We'll just say. You know, a little bit of an expensive buy, but no, I'm excited to get into football season that will, you know, fill the void in my life until college basketball starts up.
Certainly. Yeah, certainly. I agree. I think football season should be awesome. Big Ten kind of looks unpredictable this year, which it hasn't for the last couple of years, so at least, you know, give or take. But football should be fun. And then, you know, basketball, our previewing for BT Powerhouse should start here in about 3-4 weeks or so. The real stuff starts cranking out. Excited about that. Also a little
around 70-80 days till we get going, so that's exciting.
Yeah, definitely. But I'm pumped for it. I don't have any other major thoughts here. Until we see some of the game times, I'm hoping to get out to a lot of these games. Should be a lot of fun, but thanks again. Thanks, Ryan.
One more thing.
Yeah.
The only real game I was looking at, just what I'm marking on my calendars here, will be Purdue at Michigan State. I believe it's the 24th of January, which will be Caleb Swanigan's return or his first appearance in East Lansing. And I'm sure the fans there have not forgot he was once a commit there. So that'll be definitely something I like to see. You know, the student sectional. Sure, I'll give them just some good fun, we'll say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that one should be a good one. I know, I believe Michigan's last game is against Purdue. So their senior will have Spike Albrecht, former Michigan player, now playing for Purdue. So kind of a fun, weird little tidbit with basketball transfers here going crazy. But, all right, Ryan, thank you for joining us. Have a good one.
Later. Thanks.